Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 25. We're still here. 25 episodes. Feels like a lifetime. We got Derek from Alden, Paul Pinto Jr., and I'm Chris F. from Make Everything. Let's get started. Derek, I know you've had a busy week. The holidays have come and gone, but how you doing?
Good. You know, you got a great voice for this podcast.
Yeah, he does a good intro.
I tell you, I just get like...
smooth with the intro.
It is. It just blows me away, man. It's just
I'd be like,
I'm like, hey, guys.
I have to do like
welcome back to the Handmade Podcast. Oops, I screwed up right there. Hey guys, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast. I'm Chris Zepp from Make. I love how you say from Make Everything every time. Do you think when he goes to restaurants and they're like, "Hey, sir, what's your name?" He's like, "Chris Zepp from Make Everything."
That's right. I'm like, "Hey, I'm Chris Zepp from Make Everything. I have my reservation."
That's how I always feel like, you know, every time at work, they're like, you know, you got to introduce yourself with them. Like, I always like almost say I'm Derek from
Alden. Dude, I swear to God, sometimes I think that's like your last name.
Yeah. Well, no, it's so funny. So this week at work, like the secret kind of has been revealed. So a lot of guys at work know what I'm up to. So I've been out of work for about a month and I'm out at a big job. And the foreman comes up and he looks at me and he's like, he's got like the long beard and everything. We look like twin brothers. And he's like, "Where the fuck have you been?" And I'm like, just COVID, just trying to lay low and, you know, taking care of myself. He's, "Oh, that's good. That's good." He's like, "I heard you put stuff online."
Uh-oh.
I go, yeah, I do. He's like, "Can I see?" So he's like, I don't want to work here no more and stuff, you know. And he's looking at my stuff and he's like, "Yeah," he goes, "you shouldn't be working here, you know." And I was like, "Yeah, it's not that simple, you know." So he goes, "You weld?" I go, "A little bit." He's like, "Can you teach me how to TIG weld?" I'm like, "Yeah, I can teach you how to TIG weld." You know, it was just really cool. So a couple hours goes by and he messages me. He goes, "My daughter's on this thing called Instagram." Like, he's just so illiterate, computer illiterate. He's like, you know, "She wanted me to get like your name and stuff." So he took down my information and stuff. So it's just kind of weird. Now I'm like saying like, "Oh man, my boss is like watching me." Cause it's just funny. Like sometimes I'll go into work and guys will say stuff that like from my story from the weekend and stuff. And like, I forget, like they watch, you know. I always think it's like, you know, people that I'll never see or whatever, you know, I talk to. And it's always like strikes me as funny, but so that was good. So it was funny that happened, you know, but I actually might take next week off just to do a little bit more shop time, but no, I've been busy. I was really, really disappointed with the post office. I think a lot of people were, I've gotten a ton of messages for people. I killed myself to get those ornaments shipped out the day literally people order them. If they ordered before 4 o'clock, they were shipped out that day, and almost nobody got them before Christmas.
Oh, that sucks.
The part that kills me is, so one of my friends from work, he lives in New Hampshire. He's about 40 minutes from me. He orders 10, I think. He was the first person that ordered. He's like, dude, I want those. And I was like, oh, game on. Like, that started the whole thing going. I made his. I shipped his out. He got his, I think, today or yesterday.
Oh, my God.
So this is the 30th. They were shipped on the 13th, I think. On the 20th, I shipped two to Guam. The girl got him the 26th. So I got a woman who listens to this in Guam, and she watches me on YouTube. And it's just so crazy. I shipped a bunch to Australia. A bunch to Texas got there. But I was like, anything local. And then another thing I posted that T-Track for the router table there, the Incra, whatever it is there. So a guy bought it from me, and I didn't give him a price. I was like, hey, you cover the shipping. I just want it gone. So he paid me a lot of money, a lot more than I thought I was going to get for it. And he messaged me last week. He's like, dude, that never came in. I bought it like a month ago. Damn. I was like, listen, give it a week. I'll give you money back if you don't get it. He messages me yesterday. He gets it. The box is trashed, right? So the biggest part, the big bar, that's gone. So I refunded him all his money. He never even asked. I refunded it all. I was like, dude, I gave you a complete refund. It was funny. He gave me half of it back. He's like, dude, he goes, you're not at fault for this. And so he was really good of him. And if he listens to this podcast, thank you so much. Because it just like he knew like I wasn't trying to beat him and he wasn't trying to beat me. It was a sucky situation for both of us. But it was just like I could have thrown that thing out and had no aggravation. Mm. Like it cost me money and not aggravation from him, but just the fact that it got broken and missing. And then he looks it up, the tracking. He goes, dude, it left your post office 3 days ago. So it's been
Jesus Christ.
The post office. I know Jimmy's mentioned it like in his podcast. So if anybody else hasn't gotten their ornaments by now, I don't know. Give it up.
It's just on me about
next Christmas.
I've been mailing, you know, I mail the stickers when people order clothes from me, and this is like this is a public statement if anyone is wondering. When you order shirts from me, I don't ever touch the shirts, but when you order stickers, I put them in an envelope and I mail them, or I have someone else do it, but they go out regular mail with stamps. And people have been hitting me up like, my stickers didn't come. I ordered them at the beginning of the month. And I'm looking at some of the names and I'm like, I remember packing those stickers like 2 days
funny how you remember
after the
that?
Order came. Because like one of the people's like someone I interact with like all the time on Instagram. And I remember, so what I'll do is like if someone orders stickers that I know, I'll put pluses on the envelope and it'll remind me to put extra stuff in the envelope. If it's someone that I interact with and I want to give them like a bunch of extra stickers.
Yeah.
And I remember specifically seeing his name and being like, oh yeah, this guy, I put a bunch of stuff in there, put the envelope, whatever, threw it in the mailbox. And I had to mail 3 weeks ago. It actually just happened with a check from one of my clients. They mailed me a check on the 8th. It just came today. Yeah. The regular mail. And I'm like, it's crazy. Like, but people are sending me nasty messages. I don't know. But I'm thinking like at this point, you know, how could anybody blame the shipper? You know, like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like everybody's heard a story about the bad mail. I bought something on eBay that was shipped from Colorado on December 17th. And it still hasn't come. Priority mail. Yeah. It should have been there in 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah. It sucks.
I told you about the McMaster car stuff that I bought 2 months ago, and it finally just came.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The roller tables for the Bailey bandsaw.
Oh, shit.
I ordered 20 feet of roller tables like almost 2 months ago, and it just showed up.
Wow. It's so funny because, I mean, as Americans, I think like we're so spoiled. So the exhaust fan for the laser, that just came in. And, it was supposed to be here like on a Monday and I didn't have any tracking information. And then finally there was tracking information, But I looked it up, and it said that package was delivered in September. So I was like, oh, that's weird. They must have put the wrong number in. I do it again, same thing. So then Monday comes, the tracking number disappears, and it says your package is delayed. So then I message the seller. He's like, oh, no, this is the tracking. He gives me the original one that's wrong. So then it says by the next Monday. That Monday, it says it's delayed again. And then it comes that day, you know, but the box was all smashed up and everything. It was fine, thank God. But, you know, I remember as a kid, like you would order something and it always said, you know, expect 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. I'm like, can you imagine Amazon now 6 to 8 weeks for delivery?
Yeah, if you don't have it after 2 days, you're like pissed.
Yeah, dude, Malden, we have a warehouse right here. We're getting a second warehouse literally 2 miles from my house. We get same day delivery before
COVID. That's crazy.
Yeah, you order stuff in the morning, you get it that day.
That's excellent.
Unbelievable.
Love that.
Oh my God, it's great.
What a crazy thing Amazon is.
I know.
I mean, actually, their own trucks out now. That's the new thing. Own trucks. They're just going to completely cut UPS and FedEx.
They bought 40,000 2019 and 2020 Sprinters.
Yeah, Dodge, right?
No, Mercedes.
They really?
40,000. And what happened when I ordered my Sprinter, I couldn't get certain
features.
Is that
why you had to wait?
The thing was, so when you order it, they like, you know, the dealer just goes and checks boxes, you know, option this, option that. Certain of the boxes, he turned his computer screen and showed me, weren't available for non-fleet customers because Amazon bought all the LED headlights that were available because they don't want to have halogens in their trucks because then they have to maintain the bulbs. They have to change the bulb. So they bought all the LEDs. And you know how your guys' cars probably have it. You know the automatic high beam feature where your high beams automatically shut off? Amazon bought all of them. So I couldn't get that in my truck because it wasn't available for regular consumers.
Yeah. I love that. That's the best, too.
See, I don't think I have that in mine.
I had it in my last truck, and I didn't like it.
Have it, Paul.
How?
I really liked it. Mine was too
Dude, mine's not. I don't have the nice one like you do. I have the LT.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I don't even know how I put it on, to be honest with you. It just seems to come on, but it always seems like if I flash my high beams, that turns it on. And
that doesn't work in mine. I don't think I have the auto high beams. Really? Like, because I don't have like my front seat is electric, but like the passenger seat isn't. If I got the LTZ, then I would have the auto high beams. But like the other cars that we have, like that have the auto high beams. There's a house on one of the streets that we're always on. These people, God, they built this house. It's like a real, I don't know. I'm going to teach you guys about houses in a little bit. But this particular house is like this big mess, all stone, like really steep peaks on the roof.
Guinea mansion. Like the public guinea mansion.
Yeah. It's exactly what it is. And they got these bright white, you know, like the real white lights. Not yellow light, like white, bright light, like headlights. There's four of them. They got two driveway entrances, and there's two bright lights on each entrance. They're brighter than car headlights, and they always need to turn off the auto high beams because the car would think it's another car coming at it because it's so bright. They light up the entire street. It's like a landing strip. It's the ugliest
thing
in the
world. Maybe they can, see it from space.
Yeah,
probably. But, dude, have you seen – like the thing, there was like a thing on TikTok a while ago about like McMansions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, like McMansion, you know, those houses that are like big, but they're big pieces of shit.
Well, that's McMansion is an architectural subdivision now. Like a real like high end architect, like will never design a McMansion. Like there are certain, like they add extra gables. They add like a turret. Yeah. They add a bunch of features. They have a window above the door that no one can get to.
Yeah. That's the window.
Yeah.
Like round window. But dude, so this goes back to like this whole, I guess it's like a lexicon, right? Is that the right word for this? Like that my parents, my mom, particularly my mom's family and the kids that they grew up with, have all these different words that they use, but like one of our friends, the person who lived across the street from my mom's house was like doing something to their house. They were like trying to do some DIY home improvement thing. And our other good friend was over there talking to him. And he's like explaining how he's going to do it. And he goes, you know, I'm just going to kind of, I'm going to shoomph it. Like he said, shoomph. We're like, what the hell is shoomph? I'm just going to shoomph it. And we're like, what? Well, this, I wasn't there, but that's what my parents were. But we adopted that word. So every time we see a McMansion, we call it a shoomph. We're like, look at that shoomph over there. That house is a real shoomph. When it's like a real ugly looking stupid house.
Yeah.
So you got you're in the type of neighborhood where you got a lot of those where people had a nice beautiful farmhouse that they knocked down
and they put a big ugly shoomph over there.
They shoomph it up. They a little
because you know it's like when it's a big house because someone wants to say they live in a big house, but it's just you know like not quality.
My buddy built a house not right on the water, but real close to it in a real beautiful seaside community outside north of Boston, and he spent some serious dough on this house. It wasn't like a McMansion or nothing like that, but like you went in his closets and there was like crown molding in the closets. Like it was, everything was done like so meticulous and perfect. It was like, you just tell, it was like just the quality of the craftsmanship was just unbelievable. But like my buddy Brian, like that's the type of stuff he does. Like he does unbelievable. Like he'll put a deck on a house, you know, up by the ocean, be $60,000.
Just
beautiful, beautiful, you know, stuff they do. He works with like another guy, and they have a small crew now. It's just the two of them before, but they just do some like unbelievable, real, real nice high end work, you know.
Yeah, that's what we used to do when Macklin and I worked together. The home builder that we worked for, like that was the type of house that my old boss was known for. Ooh, you know, like the house that had all the features and all the details that like you can you hear me? What I was saying was when Macklin and I worked together, that was the home builder that we worked for. Like that did like, you know, we did this house that we built, and he wanted the front door to be like really special. That was his, like, he was talking to the client. He talked it up to the client, and the front door was, it was like 9.5 feet tall. It was 42 inches wide, solid mahogany. And then we sent it out to be French polished.
That's crazy.
The whole door, both sides, was meticulously hand French polished by a furniture restoration specialist like a couple miles away. So we got the door. We hung it. The client saw it. They said, yeah, it's beautiful. We took the door down and we brought it right to the guy's place. And then we had a temporary door up for like 6 months. Took the guy like 6 months to do this door.
Yeah.
And then we built this beautiful, like
$30,000 door.
It probably was like 10 to 15 grand just for the French polish.
And then plus the mahogany.
Yeah. And the solid brass hardware and all the other like unbelievable features. So then in that same house, we built a library that they decided on wormy chestnut for all the material. Mm-hmm. So they ordered wormy chestnut beams from Tennessee, had them shipped here, then paid somebody to resaw them down. Then they built arch trusses, all the millwork, all the casing matched the rest of the house, but was milled out of solid wormy chestnut and then pre-finished. And then we had the same guy that did the front door, did a marquetry inlaid compass rose above the fireplace that had stars. Each star represented one of their kids. Or no, constellations. Each constellation represented one of their kids, and they picked the constellation based on their kids' like birth month. And this thing was like, you know, like that guy Ramon on Instagram who does all the inlay stuff. You know, this cost them. Like they probably spent $100,000 on these details. You know, like these details cost more than a house for like these couple of little things. And you know, some people definitely don't do this kind of shit tastefully, but this house is like an unbelievable like specimen. I gotta see if I can find pictures of it. Beautiful.
I've been like begging Ramon to start a YouTube channel. Like that guy, that's what I told him. I'm like, dude, you are like basically doing YouTube on Instagram. Like he does like such long, like, I don't know if they're reels or whatever they call them, like IG stories, whatever the hell they are. But they, I was like, dude, you have so much knowledge. You do such beautiful stuff. Everything he does is like unbelievable. If anybody, you know, we'll put a link to him. But he, like, just his, he just did a thing where he did like little pads for the doors and he cut them out of leather. And it's like, dude, it's like, just, I comment, I'm like, dude, like you, there's not a detail that you overlook. Like, and he just, he's like, that seems like such a cool dude. You ever see like the rock crawler his brother has? He posts about it.
Oh yes, I have, in a garage.
Once in a while, he'll talk about it. His brother has like this badass rock crawler. I was like, dude, you would have a kick-ass YouTube channel, like instantly. Like you'd have a ton of people, you know.
And but it's so informative. He's super, super informative.
He has so many tips. Like his jigs are like beautiful. Like he makes like these super beautiful jigs. But you reminded me. I back to the fish tanks, Paul. I had this guy. There was a friend of mine, an Asian guy. He would buy this coral, spend thousands of dollars on coral and fish. He would call
what kind of coral are we talking about here?
Just anything. Just anything he'd buy.
Yeah.
Pink something, anything. And he'd be like, dude, it's throwing off the feng shui in my tank. You need to come by and get
it. Oh, you told me about this.
So I go there. This is the guy. His tank caught on fire and he had it on.
Dude, live, must have had some bad feng shui.
Oh, yeah. Blew up. Dude, my buddy still has the tank. He paid like $30,000 for his tank. But anyways, he had this media room, right? He brings me and Max into this media room. It was had like 15 recliners. And I forget what they call it. It wasn't like 3D or 4D or whatever. It was like the chairs moved.
Yeah.
So like you got in the chairs, they were recliners. They literally picked up off the ground like 6 feet. All the shades got, dude, it was the crazy, not 6 feet, like 3 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
But they moved.
What is this, like Disney World?
Yes. Yes.
Like Terminator 2.
Like Soarin'. Remember that ride, Soarin' in Disney World?
That's exactly what it was like. I was like, dude, I'm going to get sick. We go in there, right? You sit on the chairs. All the shades come down like it was like grates, right down. Room's completely dark, right?
Yeah.
Shade comes down. The chairs come up, right? They're like moving, bouncing. They're getting shot. It was like not Jurassic Park. It was some movie like that. It was a famous movie. The one where all the people were like purple or whatever. What the hell movie is that?
Avatar?
Yes, Avatar.
Yeah.
Right when that was released, he had that, right? So anyways, after he reclines the chairs and he's like, watch this. And the ceiling lights up, right?
What?
He paid $100,000 to have the stars the night he proposed to his wife, inlaid in fiber optics into
that's
the ceiling.
Like a Rolls Royce ceiling.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
See, I'd rather take that $100,000 and throw it right into the kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, I think he did that as well.
Yeah.
I think he did that. His tank was part of his kitchen cabinet.
Oh,
so he planted it to the tank. Yeah. It was unbelievable. He gave the whole thing away to me. He gave me the whole thing. I took the whole thing out of his house.
And he just was done with it?
Yeah, he was done.
Wow. Yeah, I'll take
my buddy took the tank.
Jesus
like
Christ.
$30,000 he paid for the tank and the cabinet for it. It was unbelievable.
Wow. How big was the tank?
180 gallons.
$30,000 for 180 gallon tank?
And the cabinets.
Oh, the cabinets must have been a lot.
The cabinets.
It's not even that big of a tank. I was about to say. No. I thought you were going to say 500 gallons.
No.
How big is 180 gallons?
Not
tank?
That big.
It all depends on the shape of them.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? It was probably a 240 now that I think of it.
Yeah.
It was 6 foot tank. It was 6 by 3 by 3.
Okay, so he made it deep. Oh. See, some people don't make it that deep.
He had it, But everything was top of the line. He had like 9 AI Sol lights on.
He
took all those and sold them.
Wow.
My buddy still has the tank. The doors, it was three sets of double doors. And it was different compartments, and one of them was where the fire was. And he had to have new doors made, and it was an acrylic tank. Mm-hmm. He had it polished. You couldn't see it. He put a trim piece around it. You couldn't even see where it was damaged. But
what caught on fire?
Some extension cord probably just had salt creep on it or something.
Oh, yeah.
But it alerted him. He was able to get fully automated. He was able to let the neighbor in the house, but the cameras came on and he saw the tank on fire in his home.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I've been literally, it's funny you mentioned that. I've been looking at freaking fish again and coral and saltwater tanks.
I was just looking too. It's like,
I want one so bad.
Yeah.
My buddy, you had one, Paul, and you just got rid of it because you got lost.
Yeah. Well, because we moved and everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But. Because I didn't have the proper setup. Like, if I,
yeah.
Well, that's like, you got to do it right.
Yeah, you either got to be all in, or you know,
because people try and do these nano tanks, they call them, and it's extremely hard. The bigger the tank, the easier it is with salt water. You know, to a certain extent. But
small is really
small is very hard because the water parameters change so often.
Yeah,
you know, and you just can't get the proper filtration. You don't have enough, you know, rock and sand in there to do the biological filtration. Yeah. You can't put many fish in it. So it's it's hard.
The Red Sea tanks are so nice. The new
Those are cool. I was looking at those.
Oh, nice. That's what I had. My last one. I had a 6 footer. I think it was 5 foot now, 5.5. They're weird because they're like a European size. So they're not like regular sizes.
But I don't know. If I build a house one day when I'm older, I'm definitely going to put one in, you know, the right way. But then you got to have a whole nother room to make the salt water. You need a quarantine tank. Yeah. You know,
Send you guys a picture of what my boss has in his basement
that
a steel frame for. I have a photo of it. I'll send it to you guys because he did it really nice. It's in his laundry room downstairs below the tank. And he did all custom acrylic, all acrylic tanks, and I built this steel shelf for it all to sit on. I mean, I have no idea. I'm sure it works well because he's like a no bullshit guy where if it was a pain in the ass, he wouldn't deal with it. Uh-huh. But it's crazy. I have no idea what kind
you can, you can have them so they're like low maintenance, but you got to have deep pockets for that. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, you know, and it's just like every other hobby. It's like, you know, people just like want to flex with the money, you know, the type of fish they have and the type of coral and
good fish.
You know, it just gets a little crazy, you know.
Got to have the good fish, the good rare fish. And then you get like a mean fish and what it eats all the fish.
Yeah, well, dude, my 6-line Ras ate my cleaner shrimp. I was pissed. I just bought a shrimp and I threw it in there, and that bastard, hated that fish.
People don't know what the hell they're doing, and then they can't get the fish out. That's the worst. Yeah. Trying to catch the fish. Mm. But
you'll never catch a fish.
No.
Dude, those things are so fast. You've never seen something so fast in your life.
Yeah. I
can imagine you like cursing and bitching because you're trying to catch a goddamn fish.
When they eat your clam, like if you have a nice
clam,
Maxima, oh my god, it's a nightmare. Or you know, you get an anemone and it eats your fish. Oh god,
dude, we're going deep into fish tank right now, but I think those carpet anemones are nasty when it comes to snagging fish.
Yeah,
like they're worse than like the bubble ones.
Yeah. I had a carpet anemone.
Oh, did you really? Yeah, did it move all around your tank and like kill some coral?
Yeah, they get so big and they sting everything.
Dude, these anemones, Chris, these things, you know, like you've heard of them on like, you know, Nemo, but they move. They're like, they have a foot and it disconnects from a rock and they'll move around the tank to, you know, find a better spot, a spot that they like better.
Yeah.
Like, and then it'll kill everything.
That's like why all the coral. Like, you know, like you can aggravate it. Like sometimes mine, it would move, so I would take ice.
Yeah, and you got to remove it from the rock.
Yeah. It hates the ice.
Dude, it's just a nightmare. You know? All these things are so hard.
It is.
You know, it's just crazy.
You got to be like one of the rappers where you have such a big tank that somebody has to come with a scuba suit and clean it.
Yeah. I saw that. Remember that show Tanked? Those two idiots.
Yeah.
Those guys
are probably still on.
It probably is. And they'd they just put fake coral, rubber, plastic, fake coral on all the tanks. The guy that would help sometimes and come like set up my tank and help me. I think I mentioned him before. His business is Elite Aquaria, I think it is, in Connecticut.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy. His name's Justin. But he actually had to go work on Tracy Morgan's tank that Tanked did for him, the TV show. They built Tracy Morgan a tank. And he's like, it was such a joke because they put all these exotic fish in there and then they put sharks in with the fish. So he goes, in a week, all the fish were gone.
Yeah.
But
that show first started, I emailed them.
Oh yeah,
and, like ripped into them because I was like if you set up a tank the right way, like you set up the tank and then you
put cycle
water
it.
It legit needs to sit for like 6 months.
Yeah,
like,
dude, you need to cycle the tank for a while, and then these idiots are like, oh, we're gonna mix the salt water, we're gonna throw the sand in,
exactly.
we'll get throw some fish in, turn the lights on, and
like dude,
half the fish die.
Yeah, it's like those fish are so stressed out.
Oh, yeah, man. The ammonia. Because there's ammonia. We're going to sell a lot of saltwater tanks after this.
I could imagine Derek like sending them like a strong worded email, like, you assholes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I went and visited them when I went to Vegas and stuff. Yeah? Before the show was popular. Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty cool. I got to meet them and stuff like that. And it was funny because just like every other show on Discovery Channel, like it was like a decent show that they had to get involved with and ruin, you know what I mean? And it's like, and that's like the thing with them, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll post a picture of my old tank on.
Oh, you need to show me. I've never seen it. I'd like to see it.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No.
Oh my God. It's unbelievable. I'll post both of them.
You got to, somebody has to log into the make every, the handmade podcast Instagram.
But it's like, you know, it's funny because when people see pictures of my tank, they're like, what the hell were you doing? And it's like, that kind of grows over time. Like, it's like, you just don't open up a tank and stop like that.
No.
It's like, you know, you get a tank and like, you want to go away for a week and it's like, oh shit, how am I going to add water to this? So you got to get something to add water.
Yeah.
Like, oh, how am I going to feed this? So like, it's like, you're always putting out a fire with something. And then the next thing you know, you got a tank that looks like mine and it's, crazy, but it just you know, it's a lot, you know, it is, but it's a great hobby. I mean, but you know, like I was always told, like, if you want, you know, fish, you get fish. If you want a hobby, you get salt water.
Yeah.
Know? And it is. It's a great hobby because it's a lot of mechanical stuff, a lot of, you know, like chemistry stuff, you know, and like my kids, like their science projects growing up and stuff, they were like unbelievable because they would tie it into the stuff, and you know, the teacher's like, oh my God, you know, Max, because Max loved it. Max,
yeah,
he could tell you everything about fish growing up, you know, but it is cool.
It's a whole other thing though.
Yeah,
it's like a whole nother
nightmare I don't need in my life right now. You know, I got enough bullshit.
Maybe when you quit your job and then your hobby becomes your new job, then you got to find a new hobby.
Well, the best part was, so mine was fully automated, and I had it controlled and stuff. So I'd be at work, and I'd be like, oh, shit. They're like, oh, problem at home. Be like, oh, my fucking tank just sent me an alert. My fucking chiller's dying. They'd be like, what? I'd be like, yeah, look at, you know, and I had to.
When was this? When did you get rid of the tank? What year? Because I'm sure whatever they have now is probably even more like sophisticated. Like, you know,
Neptune.
So my last, 2015, I got rid of my tank.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
probably about the same time.
All 5 years old.
Dude, me and Derek, I swear to God, have done all the same things.
Except work for the company.
Yeah, except that. Yeah. Well,
that's the underside of the tank.
We got there. Like, what the hell is that? What is that? What are you dosing? What's that canister?
That's heroin. CO2.
CO2? Yeah.
CO2.
Wow. Gas to keep those really happy.
I could name some of those things. Was it a biopellet reactor?
Yeah.
Dude, I know my fish.
But I had
Paul Pinto, king of the fish.
I had some nice
coral. Oh, my God. Wow, look at that. Chris, you have no idea. Like, that shit.
Let me see the coral again.
Like a centimeter.
We need a post. We need a whole dedicated fish tank appreciation post.
This was before the coral was big. Like this, you can't see it.
It's bigger?
The
corals grow huge.
Purple and pink. But like, look at that. That's a Maxima.
Oh, wow. Flag. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just crazy. I loved it. It was so much fun. It was like it's funny because my buddy Bruno, that he had a big tank too. Every Friday night he'd come over my house and, you know, we would talk tank talk, you know, and, what kind of fish is that, Paul? Can you see?
Hold on. I can't see. Oh shit. What kind of tank is that?
That's a Wu Tang.
Purple Tang. Yeah.
Purple Tang. Yeah. And we would talk fish. Oh, here's a great shot right there. Can you see what's in there?
Got to post all these.
A nice mystery wrasse and a nice yellow tang.
Yellow tang, yeah.
That, what's that?
I said, what, you got a hot dog floating in there?
that yellow tang, right, got grabbed by my anemone.
Oh, really?
It spit it out, and it looked like a cartoon. It was like everything picked clean, all the bones on the thing. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You guys got something going on.
Yeah, no, but it's the fish tanks we've both done. It's the remote control planes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, wow, look at that. What is that, some type of LPS? Yeah, what's that called?
LPS, yeah. Like, I forget. Like a
blast. I don't know.
At home, Derek and Paul are sharing many,
pictures. Yeah, nudies of my tank.
Mm-hmm. These pictures can be viewed in the after show, which no
I'll post a bunch of these pictures.
Derek's going to post a bunch of pictures. Follow at Handmade Podcast on Instagram.
Yeah.
Shout out to the next subject.
That was too much tank talk.
Yeah,
tank talk.
We were losing people here. Right.
Yeah.
Our next guest on Tank Talk will be Paul.
are we going to do guests regularly, or what's going to happen?
I think we should do guests regularly. Yeah. I think not too much. Not every episode.
I would do like one every couple episodes.
Yeah, not every episode. I mean, I still think we need to get some alternate guests. Like, I want to get, you know. Like, I was talking to Tyler Bell because he listened to the episode. We were talking about how we should have like everybody's like we should have like the unexpected version of everyone instead of them on the thing. And he's like, I don't think I could get my mom to come on the show. I'm like, nah, we could convince her. Like, I want Tyler Bell's parents to be on the show and be like, so what do you think about when Tyler comes into the kitchen and asks you for like three cans of like, what did he just use for the can? And he used like jelly in a can.
It was
preserved beets. So what do you do when you go in the kitchen and you open the cupboard and all the cans of like beets are gone and Tyler's blasting them at himself?
She says, "Dadgummit, Tyler." That's what she said.
I have to imagine that Tyler's parents are just as like
gee whiz or whatever, shit like that.
Gee willikers.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Tyler Bell. Oh my god. I could talk about a new tool that I got.
Of course you can. Oh,
what you got?
Because you're ill.
I'm ill. Hold on. I got even better than a new tool. It was the same day. So the other day I'm up in Connecticut with Angela. We're going to look at a wedding venue because we're trying to plan our wedding. And I'm like, listen, Angela, while we're in Connecticut, do you mind if we stop at Pinto's? Cause like, I got a piece of plate there. I got to pick it up. She's like, why does everything we do have to revolve around going and doing?
You know what, Angela? Cause that's what Chris likes to do.
That's right. I was like, listen, I'm not going to drive past Paul's house and not get this plate just so I can turn around and come back in a couple days. I'm like, that's just a waste of fuel. So anyway, we go to Paul's. As soon as I get to Paul's, I'm picking through the dumpster, getting like scrap metal out of the dumpster.
Like, you remember that? So this is how crazy this kid is. I built a hammer handle press with a bottle jack, right?
Yeah.
I made a lot of hammers. Chris has made one hammer with me and has never made a hammer since.
Yeah.
He feels like he needs to have this hammer press.
Had to have it.
I'm throwing it out because I don't need it anymore. And I have a 12,000 square foot shop, and I'm the only one who makes hammers. Chris,
he had a 10 foot long piece of quarter inch thick 4x4 angle in the dumpster. Derek, there was no way in hell you would have driven by it. I would have taken it.
Well, yeah, it was.
So we go there, and I picked.
I actually don't even know why that was in there.
What'd you say?
I don't even know why that was in there in the first place. It was actually a decent piece.
Did you throw the press out too that you used?
Well, I took the bottle jack off so I could use it. Yeah. And then the press is literally just a couple pieces of 2x2 square tubing and like some plate. Like, it's just taking up space. I'll never use it because you could make a hammer without it.
Yeah.
It was just kind of more to make a cool video. But Chris, he's got himself a hammer press now.
And just a general press. But anyway, so I went from Paul's to Monger's Market, which I feel like everybody knows about now because it was once like this little known spot. Now it's like
blown up.
But, so Monger's Market is a 75,000 square foot, basically like industrial antique store. And now it started out where it was just like this guy, John's like personal kind of collection of shit that he sold. Now he's got like, I don't know, it was like 35 vendors in there, Paul. It's crazy. Yeah,
I got to go back. I haven't been in so long.
It's nuts how many vendors. And he says, like, he's like, dude, it feels like my stuff's being pushed out. But anyway, so.
Well, yeah, that's the funny thing is to me, he's got the better stuff.
100%. Everyone else is
like artsy crafts, junk.
Right,
like,
a lot of it's shit.
But
it's
thrift store stuff.
But
you know, it's
makes
like store shit.
It makes more sense finance wise for him to have more Mongers.
Yes.
You know, because he charges them rent. He's like a landlord to a bunch of little booths. But his stuff to me is the better stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So know, he's killing himself to get this stuff.
Yeah. So I walk around. I, you know, Angela had never been there, so we were like kind of walking around and we were looking at stuff. And there's this one area. It's actually, Paul, you know where it was? It was right where the chain hoists were.
Oh, really? In the back corner over there?
Yeah. And I was looking for, I was like, oh, let me see if he's got like another chain hoist or another beam trolley there, because I know Matt was looking for one and whatever. So I'm walking around that way. I see a little cabinet with these like with these tools on it. And the thing about Monger's Market is that he has a lot of bases for tools, but he doesn't sell tools because he doesn't know about them. He doesn't care about them. It's not his business. And I've gotten some tools from there and I've always done well on them. So I'm walking through and I see these little drill presses and they're by all these dental tools. So I know he like bought out a dental office or whatever. So I grab this little drill press and I bring it up to the front and show it to his wife. And she like radios him in. He's like, I don't know, just give me $40 for it. So it's a sensitive drill press. And I posted it on my Instagram. And basically what it is, it's a super high RPM, really, really precise drill press that doesn't have a quill. So it's basically just a motor with a chuck on it. And then you move the table towards the material. But anyway, you know, there's the funny thing is there's no cell service in this place. So you can't even like find something and then look it up to find out if you're like getting a good deal. You kind of just are on your own. So I look at it, I can't plug it in because there's no power, and I buy it. And I get out to the car and I'm like, oh, this thing's pretty cool. Like, you know, hopefully it works, whatever. And I'm sitting in the parking lot and I'm like, ah, let me just like throw it into Google real quick. And one of them pops up on eBay for like $750. And I didn't pay $750 for it. I paid considerably less. So I was a great score. Now I'm excited to restore it. And that's my new purchase of the week. But it should be kind of fun.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Just drilling holes. Yeah. 17,000 RPM drill press. When you use little tiny drill bits like under 16th of an inch, they're like extremely, extremely helpful. But
it's amazing those little tiny drill bits even have a sharp edge on them. So, it's like, how do they even not break?
Well,
I know, right?
So when I make the folding knives, there's a guy who I follow who has like making folding knives. He's got it like down to a science, and he hardens all his blades first. And he's got it down where he's got like a drill press with every size drill bit in it.
Oh,
and he never changes
that. Like an assembly line.
Yeah. He's got like a number. And if you guys ever dealt with numbered drill bits, you know, like they go up to 80, and 80 is like the size of like a needle. He's got like a number 61, a number 62, like, and they're these little tiny drill presses about the size of the one that I just got. And he uses these solid carbide drill bits you buy from McMaster. They're like $5 each, and they're great if you run them fast enough. So I buy a couple of them and I'm like all excited. I get these drill bits. They're like, you know, so, so tiny and delicate. The first time I go to use one, I chuck it up in my drill. I turn it on. I bring down the quill. As soon as it touches the material, bing, gone, broken. Just like touches the material, breaks, flies away. I'm like, oh, I wasn't running it fast enough. Undo the whole thing, put it all back in, go to do the next one. I'm getting ready to start to drill. I'm like, you know, touch it, bing, breaks another one, because I'm running it at like 600 RPM in a regular drill press.
It's running at 20,000 RPM.
Yeah, this drill bit is like, I don't know, it's probably, I'm looking at my chart right now, the drill bit's probably like 0.025. So it's 25 thousandths thick.
Wow.
And it's solid carbide and it's spinning, you know, 600 RPM. So as soon as it touches the material, it's not going fast enough to cut. It just drags and breaks.
Yep.
So hopefully with this little one, you know, I mean, whatever, if I use it three times, it'll be worth it, because it'll accomplish the goal. Cause if you ever tried to like get a hardened pin out of something and you have to drill a little tiny hole in it, it's good to have the carbide, but I don't know.
Yeah. If anyone's got any watches that need to be repaired, let Chris know.
Yeah, the guy apparently made dentures with it.
When I use the CNC and I use the like 1/32 inch end mill, it's like, so like I've broken more of them because I keep them in my stance sitting up and just reaching over it, like my arm will hit it and it'll break them all right off. And now like
really 1/32?
I just broke one of those. What speed do you have that?
I don't know. That's where I was going with this.
Mine went about 3 inches and then it broke.
Dude, yeah. And it's the worst thing because it's like, it just, you hear silence and mm-hmm. it's like, ah, shit, it broke. But mm-hmm. I got to figure it out. It's hard because you can't just plunge them. You have to ramp them in. You have to be going fast. And I don't know. Yeah. And it just, it's amazing. But Jimmy, when he did that aluminum plate with the injection mold thing, mm-hmm. he did that whole thing with that size, 1/32nd of an inch. Yes.
That's crazy.
It's just like, like Paul was saying, it's amazing that they have a sharp edge. It's like mm-hmm. amazing that it just does, like, it doesn't break. Yeah. Like, I mean, they do break, but if you use properly, they don't break.
Yeah.
And I have to find it, that end mill. I know I showed it to you before, Chris. It was in a machinist toolbox I got. It's either like, it's not an end mill. It's a to thread something. And it's so tiny. It must be for like a watchmaker or something like that. But it's just amazing that they can get like a precise thread on that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously they just use tiny shit, but it's just so strange. Like when you get stuff like that, that it can be hard and, you know, it can cut stuff, you know,
that it actually does anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure you probably have a better idea than me, but what do they, I don't know if you know, but what do they use to make carbide end mills? What's cutting the carbide?
Diamond.
Is it diamond?
Yeah.
Yes, right? It just has to be diamond.
Yeah, the only thing that I can sharpen, because I have that end mill sharpener.
Oh,
that I
bought.
And it's interesting. I have to like kind of put the whole thing back together. And really, like, I know how to use it based on like the videos I've seen, but I haven't tried it on an end mill. But it's interesting because when you sharpen carbide, so the thing is set up to carpen high speed steel or carbide.
What did you just do?
Myself with Jimmy's ice pick.
Nice. There you go.
I knew I was going to do that. I'm such an idiot.
I did that a couple weeks ago with the razor. Oh, so my finger open. Dude, that was crazy.
Yeah, I'm on the podcast. Christ. She comes in with a spray bottle and a freaking mask on.
But she come to spray your wound?
I don't know. She's going to spray me.
Oh, you stabbed yourself.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God. So was that your mother?
Yeah, she's gone now. She's gone now.
I see the mask. Oh, my God. I thought you were in the surgical suite.
Oh, you know what? Paul, you have your hourly sterilization.
Dude, I didn't know I had an operation coming up.
Does she wear the mask around the house?
No. I think she's probably because she doesn't want to smell whatever she's freaking spraying. I don't even know. I don't know anymore.
Oh my God, that's hysterical. Oh, what God. I was saying was when you
I can't wait to see her. I'm gonna give her a big hug.
Oh yeah.
You're gonna get, Christ. You're gonna get sterilized.
She's like be like a karate movie, they go in for the hug, she like flips you over, gets a brush out, scrubs you down real quick.
My freaking idiot friend did that like over the summer, like when he came over, but we're all trying to stay. Yeah. This kid is just, I don't even know how to describe this kid. It's like his brain works half of the time.
I was just telling somebody, I went to my buddy's wake, my buddy that died in a couple weeks ago. And this kid I grew up with, he was always like a hotto. And he's like, fucking comes up, he's got no mask on. It's like, all right, I ain't going to say nothing. You're outside, staying away from each other and stuff. So he's like, yeah, you know, this is horrible. He reaches into his back pocket. Pulls out a flask, right? Like, I didn't know that was like a thing, right? Like we're in our 50s, right?
Yeah.
He takes a whack off the flask. He's like, yeah, it's Jack Daniels. He's like, you want some? And holds it up to us. I'm like, even if there wasn't COVID.
You're not like teenagers.
20 years, asshole.
Is he Irish? Definitely Irish.
Yeah, it's like, what are you
thinking? Definitely Irish.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah, of course. Growing up in Summer League, you gotta be Irish, but... It's like, I'm like, it's just so weird to me. I'm like, forget the COVID thing. It's like, you pass around flasks to people you haven't talked to or seen.
I know, yeah. I've never even seen someone whip out a flask like that.
Yeah, other than like a movie. Or
yeah, right? Or like, what is this, like the 50s? Or I don't even know when they would use flasks.
Prohibition. So I got a funny story about similar to that. So I think.
What are you doing?
I think I told this. Oh, bomb you. I think I told this story on one of the previous episodes, but when I used to go to Austin, Texas all the time. And
Paul's got a note.
Oh, you got a note?
I don't know what this is supposed to
be. It's a kite. It's like prison. It's a kite.
So I used to go to Austin all the time, and one day my buddy's bouncing. He's a bouncer outside of a bar temporarily, and a guy wants to get in, but he doesn't have enough money for the cover. So my friend's like, yeah, dude, I'm sorry. Like, it's a $15 cover. I can't let you in. He's like, I don't have any money, but like, I'll give you my jacket. And he's got like a leather jacket on. And my friend's like, all right, I'll take the jacket. You can go in. So my friend takes this jacket. He's like, oh, this is a nice jacket. In the pocket's a plastic bag with pills in it.
Yeah.
And needless to say, I think all the pills were taken by my other friends who were like living at the house in Texas. Yeah. Then I got people on Instagram that are like afraid they don't want the vaccine. I'm like, listen, I know people that took pills out of a jacket for a guy that couldn't get into a car that we were never able to identify. I think we're going to be all right. The vaccine's going to be fine.
There's a viral video going around about a girl that posted on Instagram about people who won't take the vaccine. Like, my thing is, like, I'm fortunate. We were told we were probably going to get it in probably February or March because of being an essential worker. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. But I'm like, you know, like me and Chris were talking. It's like so many millions of people are going to have it like in the next month that like if you see people start dying, like, all right, don't take it, you know. But like, you know, so the woman that rents for me, she runs a hospital system, and she said, I was talking to her the other night, she said they've given, I forget how many thousands of doses. She said they've had one reaction. A woman had a scratchy throat after, which they have to consider it a reaction, but she's like, you know, she could have just had a scratchy throat, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, people get a little crazy and stuff. So that's the good part about, you know, not getting the vaccine right away, you know? But she said they get like 70% of the hospital workers had taken it so far. She said probably almost 100% said they would take it, but they want to wait a little while, you know, because you think of it, a lot of the nurses are young and stuff, and they're kind of like, you know, they don't have really any health risks. They home at home, like, why bother, you know? So I can see that. But
I think it's okay is because literally, like, everyone in the government got it. Like, the current president, the incoming president, like, everybody got it. All hospital workers, people this country go around, you know?
Yeah.
If everyone has some type of vaccine that's going to kill them in 3 months, like, you know, we'd be doomed. So I think
we're doomed.
Like, so they must be so confident in the vaccine that they gave it to everybody that keeps this country going. You know, they wouldn't be doing that if there was a problem with it.
Yeah, no. And like, I mean, you don't know how effective it's going to be, obviously. But I mean, like they said, like this one that just they're saying this other one that's coming out, it's only like 60% effective or 70%. I'm not sure. But,
oh, really?
But they're saying,
better than nothing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're saying that one's still a huge success.
Yeah.
And that one, it's good because it doesn't need to be refrigerated or anything like that. So they're saying it's good for like third world countries. They can ship it around the world and stuff like that, you know.
And they fly a little drone with a parachute.
Yeah, they were saying at the beginning, if you could get 30% effective, that's considered a win.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, 30%. Because you figure between the vaccine and then herd immunity and all that, it all factors in together. So for like 95, that's like
Wait, so does the 30% mean that 30% of the people who take it are going to be immune? Or does it mean you have a 30% chance of not getting the thing if you get vaccinated? Like a 30% greater chance of not getting it?
Know.
It's got to be. It's got to be the 30% of people who take it are immune, because otherwise if everyone who got it was just a little bit less likely to get the vaccine, it wouldn't really do much.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Like, so at the beginning, like say you get both vaccines, right? It's 95%. So 5% of the people aren't protected. So do you still have to act like you don't, you know, like you still have to worry, you know, obviously you still have to worry a little bit, you know, cause you could be the guy that didn't,
I don't know.
You know, still not covered, you know? But I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
She was very optimistic about it. I mean, I'm not going to say what she said about the rest of it, but she was just so optimistic about it. She said, like, she thought January was going to be tough. That's how the hospital's looking at it between Thanksgiving and Christmas. But she said, like, in a matter of a month, you know, like, when the end of, like, February, you know, March, you're going to see such a huge difference because so many, she's like, you know, all the first responders and everything, they're the ones that are spreading everything. You know, it's coming out of the hospital, the nurses and the doctors and the, you know, the police and everything. So, you know, she's like, in a matter of a month or two, she's like, I think you're going to see a real big turn, downturn in it. Mm-hmm. So that'll be good, you know, because it's just so, I'm just not, you know, I just mentally, it's just so draining for me. You know, it's
yeah, like, I'm so sick of this. Days,
it's like I get an email that, you know, you've been in a location with somebody who's had it and will contact you if you have it. And it's just, I'm just tired.
It's like a ticking time bomb. Yeah. You're like, God, yeah. When am I going to get, like, you could only avoid it for so long until yeah. there's a vaccine. It's like, yep. my hands yeah. are about to fall. You know how much alcohol? I yep. mean, I'm surprised my phone still functions.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the amount of alcohol that's hit my, it melted my old phone case apart.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, I had an OtterBox. I spent like $50 on an OtterBox.
Yeah.
She melted it on me.
Yeah.
Melted it. Meanwhile, you got to go and touch all that grease and dirt. Oh my God. I can't even imagine when you get, you know, that mill scale hand you get when you handle steel.
Oh yeah. 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 Black.
She must love yeah.
it. It's not good. you know what? I'd rather have her that like this way than just, you not know, the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause then it's like, yeah. you know, I appreciate what she does.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, believe me, I work with a lot of guys that don't care.
Yeah. Some people are just dirty.
Yeah. And it's hard because it's like, you know, you don't want to tell people, you know, what they have to do, but it's like when it affects you, you know, then you can give a shit, you know, but it's like, I think a lot of it, just a lot of people are just so damn sick and tired of it.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's just, you know, dragged on so long, but you know, hopefully it'll be over soon.
Yeah. I hope I can get the vaccine soon. I just can't take it. At first I was like, oh God, I don't know if I want to take this thing, but now I'm yeah. like, you know what? Just give it to me. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah,
you gotta keep going. Just crazy. I mean, you just gotta yeah. keep going.
Like, can't yeah. you know? Like at a certain point, right? If they said, like, I don't know, if it, you know, you read the stuff, you see the stuff online where people are like, oh, you're gonna have to have like a vaccine card if you want to fly. It's like, then just give me the goddamn vaccine. Like, what are they gonna? They're gonna track me. You know, yeah. I'm gonna get the nano chip.
What are they tracking me for?
Right?
What do I? Exactly. What am I doing?
That's yeah. like my brother. My brother's like, oh, I don't want to have.
What is he? A conspiracy theorist?
He doesn't want like the Alexa in his house. Now Alexa's gonna hear me, and I'm like, "What is?
Well, you know that. I mean, like that shit's kind of true. Like,
but who gives yeah. a shit?
But what I know. I have I know. The launch codes? Like, I don't have, I have. Yeah, like,
you know,
they're not listening for me.
What do I say? Maybe I say my social security a couple times. My social security number is on so much shit that I have signed and sent through Gmail.
Yeah.
That if somebody wanted my social security number, there's 101 ways to get it yeah. other than listening to it, me.
The
and
only way to avoid any of that is if you live in a cabin in the woods with no cell phone, no, you know, connection yeah. to the outside world. Because yeah. these things right here, these cell phones are doing everything Alexa's doing. You know, uh-huh. now the TVs have microphones in them. So it's like, what are you going to do? Like, there's no escaping it.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I'm used to it because we've been tracked at work for so long.
Oh, yeah. What do you have, GPS in the trucks?
Yeah, we've had GPS in our trucks for years and years, you know.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I don't know if I told you guys this. So our company bought, like, the biggest, like, GPS company. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of guys are like, you know, guys still pull bullshit with it. You know, years ago, they used to have these little antennas on the roof. I don't even think they have antennas.
Are they, like, unscrewing them?
No, we used to take lead cups. We'd
oh my God.
Lead sleeves and we'd put lead sleeves over them and it would like stop it from transmitting and stuff. And guys just put these things on to blast them with voltage to burn them out and stuff. But, you know, guys are like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. You know, as long as you're close to where you need to be. And they put out a video one time. They showed this new type of GPS tracking that they came out with. And it shows a car going through like a slalom course. And it's going like 30 miles an hour and it does the slalom and stuff. And they're like, that's our old system. This is the new system. A car comes through ripping like 80 miles an hour, like the sharp hairpin corners, doesn't hit a cone and goes right through it. It was like accurate to like within like 3 millimeters. It was unbelievable. I was like, you know, wow. It's just like technology. But, you know, it, like you said, the technology's everywhere. There's cameras everywhere outside in the city.
Yeah. I'm literally looking at four cameras right now, like three on my phone. Why this needs three, I don't know. Yeah, they're really running out of stuff to do with these phones.
I just want one.
Like, can we make it any bigger? They're like, no, guys, we can't make it any bigger. It's going to be an iPad. They're like, okay, can we throw more cameras on it? They're like, okay, let's throw one.
Well,
let's,
that's the best.
They're like, let's throw two more on there.
What's that?
Why can't the battery just last longer?
Yeah, how about make the battery big, and how about make it so it doesn't break? That's all I want. I don't need four cameras on this phone. Well, I don't need it. It's like, Christ.
The phones were big. Right. I mean,
yeah,
I remember
they're like a big brick, right?
Yeah. The Motorola brick. Then they made them tiny. Then they were too small. So now they're making them big again. Yeah. And it's funny because I was just saying to Jimmy the other day, I'm like, I did something to my phone. When I got my new phone, I got the 11. I got the battery case for it. Mm-hmm. And it was like the phone battery. It uses the battery off the battery case first. Then it uses the phone battery. I'm like, I would go the whole day and it would never even kill the battery case. Yep. Like now it's like halfway through the day, it's already digging into the phone battery. I'm like, I turned something on or something's going on with this phone. And maybe the battery's dying on the case. I don't know. But it's like, this phone would last forever. You know, the battery, now it's starting to act up. So I don't know. I just hooked up a Mac to I had an old Mac that was sitting upstairs. I hooked it up to the laser. And so I didn't have to swap computers. And I noticed my pictures are on that computer now. So I don't know if it's like streaming my pictures nonstop or something. Because I got like 45,000 pictures in the cloud.
Oh, my God. I don't
know. Yeah. Yeah. Pictures all the way back from like 1999 I have on my camera.
Jeez.
That's what happens when you got four kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris, pretty soon.
Yeah, I know. I have.
Can you imagine? You're going to be able to put car seats in that Sprinter?
Goddamn right. I have basically 18 months from this day until I have my first child.
Are you kidding me? You really think? I guess, right?
Well, we're getting married in 9 months.
Oh, my God.
And then you're going to try for kids literally like as soon as we get married because Angela wants to have kids by the time she's
Chris,
a certain age.
Something's got to give, Chris.
No, listen.
I'm telling you right now. You have YouTube. You have clients. You have shop. You have a full-time job.
Yeah.
You got crazy shit going on. Something's got to give. And what's going to be the thing that's going to give?
I'm structuring my career. Like the transition team. You hear about the transition team in the news these days.
You need a political transition team to sort your life out.
Yeah.
You need some experts. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. This kid does more shit than anyone I've ever met.
I'm transition teaming over the next 2 years. My base career is going to change significantly in the next probably 12 months. So the way my job goes, and without giving too much details that I can't really talk about, is in six months, I'm either going to not have a job, or I'm going to have a job that's three times as involved as my job is now.
Mm-hmm.
So if my job becomes three times more involved than it is now, then obviously I have to scale back my business because I make exponentially more money at my day job than I do in the shop. As much as I love being in the shop, I'm a practical person. And I also, I try to think about my business and my career long term, right?
Like, especially you're gonna have a couple little Zeppieri's running around the place.
And listen, I love making stuff and I love having the shop. And I've invested well over $100,000 of my own money. I'm probably into $200,000 of my own money in cash that I've spent in. So to give it up for any reason I wouldn't do. But if I can, continue to better my financial status and, buy a house or buy a piece of land and not be like raked over the coals with payments, I can hold out for the long game and basically put my shop and my, YouTube channel on hold if I had to in a year from now for a year to make like three or four times what I would normally make doing my job. That's why I love the idea of quitting my job, but I feel like you have to kind of look at the opportunities that present themselves when they're opportunities. Like I have a very non-traditional career, where somebody, other people that we know may be involved in a union where if they were to take a year off or they were to take a leave of absence, that job and the structure that they've worked for over 10 years is going to kind of still be there. You know, like when you have a career like that, you have a rate, and if you leave, you come back and you still make that same rate. Like I have such an such a non-traditional career. If I leave my job, there isn't like this same job again waiting for me, you know? Yeah, like I had to kill myself to get to where I'm at.
You don't want to give it up.
Like I aggressively worked my way up through multiple companies to get exactly where I am. And it's such a unique job where if I were to leave tomorrow, I can't like call another company like mine and say, hey, you need somebody that does exactly what I do. You know,
it's paid a lot for doing very little.
Well, hey.
Can you see the YouTube videos coming out? Like the fucking, the baby, swing rocker thing. Like,
I'm going to make
like,
a like, ramp. Automatic
thing, like, to, oh my God. Yeah.
Like the automatic like thing to like
check
like
out me CNT cutting a pacifier holder.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bottle washer, 3D printed bottle washer. Like, I don't even know what you're going
to
do.
But I'm getting, you know, listen, I've always wanted to have kids. And so
I'll give you a couple.
Yeah.
You can take a couple of mine.
You
want to
take Max?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll rent Max out to you.
All right. How is he at digging holes? I got some holes to dig. I have Lewis. I saw Lewis today at 7-Eleven. I'm like, what are you doing?
That kid's out of his mind.
He's like, oh, I found a knockoff Makita drill on eBay. I'm going to buy it and do a YouTube review. I'm like, why don't you just dump
it? Dude, he's in his shed. Like with
dude, you guys gotta come here so I can bring you to Lewis's shed.
I don't want to go to the shed.
He would lose his mind if we just walked into his backyard and into his shed. If Jimmy was there, I think he would actually die. I think he'd have a heart attack. And he would die. Oh my God, so funny. He's such a lunatic. God. Yeah, he's like my stepchild. That's and Macklin. So yeah. And I know Macklin doesn't listen to the podcast because I talk about him every week. And I'm like, oh, did you listen to the podcast last week? We were talking about you. He's like, no. I'm like, okay. But yeah, no. So I'm going to keep my job for now. Who knows? Maybe it'll lead to me having a really amazing shop one day. And I can just like, I don't know, fly around in my G5 buying bridge ports and strapping them into the plane. You know?
Oh, what, G5? What, a Gulfstream?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it. The Empire.
That's right.
Oh, this podcast has been all over the place.
It's really right.
We got Fish Tank. Yeah, we got McMansion.
People's heads are fucking just spinning.
Oh, sales. Yeah.
What did I just listen to? Holy shit.
Yep.
So, oh, my God.
So who you watching, Paul?
I got a good one this week.
Okay, do yours while I scroll through my YouTube history.
So, I mean, this is like a tried and true YouTube favorite, Blackbeard Projects, who has amassed unbelievable following. I mean, talk about like the YouTube success story. I don't know how he does. I don't know if he does ads really, or if this is like something that he does as like a job, you know, like, I don't know if he just makes YouTube videos full time, but you have to watch his dovetail tomahawk video. Did you guys see that?
I saw him posting about it. I think it was crazy.
He did. And I didn't know how he made it at first. So he takes like a knife, like this old thick knife. And I don't know where he got the knife. Based on the comments, it sounds like it was in one of his past videos, right? And he cuts out this tomahawk shape with like an arrowhead on the back for the dovetail. Mm. So I'm thinking he takes this and he has a block of brass and he cuts it and files it and gets it to fit. No. He takes this, then makes a mold, and then melts down molten brass and pours it into the mold so that the dovetail is perfect around the steel. It was like so cool the way he did it. It was so like creative and like out of the box to think like, oh, make the steel part and then just melt the brass into it. And it'll have like a perfect interference fit, like way better than he could have ever hand filed without a machine, you know?
That's crazy.
And it just was like, I don't know. It was just so good. The video is like, you know, his videos are concise and, you know, they get you right to the point. They show you like what he's making. And, you know, he does a lot of restorations, which have done really well for him. And, you know, not to discredit the restoration stuff, because I've been successful with restorations. I think all of us have done some sort of restoration that's like done well for us online. But like it takes a totally different set of skills, I feel, to restore something that already exists than it does to make something completely from scratch like this with like foam casting and smelting and all this shit. I don't know. It's just an amazing video. Shout out to the Blackbeard Projects and the Dovetail Tomahawk. That's my pick of the week.
It's funny. I can honestly say I've been watching him from, I'd love to know how many, you know, follows he had, but he didn't have many. And it's just been amazing to see his channel, because like last year, the thing, it just blew up out of control, his channel. And it's like, good for him. He's such a nice kid.
Yeah.
You know, you met him. He's nicest just such guy, a sweet kid. So, yeah. So it's,
I remember when he passed his 100,000 subscribers thing.
When he passed
his 100,000 subscribers, he did like a shout out video, and he like talked to like about a couple other people that he was watching, and you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And that was like, I don't know, that was like maybe 2 years ago, you know, like it wasn't that long ago. And since then, he's just, you know, had so many really successful videos, and he's done a lot of really cool stuff, you know, and it's proof in the pudding that like he does amazing shit, and it's not just, like, he doesn't have people sticking around because he's doing like controversial stuff or bullshit pranks. Like, he's just doing good work and he's getting recognized for it. So,
And no, it's funny. Like, his videos, like, they're all like, some of them get, you know, millions and millions of views, and then he'll have one that gets 100,000 views.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, guaranteed every video is like killing it. I think they're all good. Like, I don't know why. Some do so well and some don't, but it's just funny.
Yeah.
But mine is one, I was following this guy. So I had two YouTube channels, and it's funny. I'll come across a channel, I'll be like, oh shit, I didn't realize I wasn't following this guy anymore. But it's Stock and Barrel. The kid does, I think it's Stock and Barrel. He does leather work. Yeah. Stock and Barrel. He's out of Utah, I believe, or somewhere, or Colorado, Utah. But he, I don't know if it's just him and his girlfriend, him and his wife now, because when I was watching before, I think it was his girlfriend, but he does a bunch of leather projects, and they're just really cool. He makes a lot of nice stuff, just like, like the bags and stuff, a lot of veg tan stuff. And just real basic leather projects, but just really clean. And all his videos are just, you know, really well done. And, you know, just you can tell he like really enjoys doing it. He knows what he's doing, and nice stuff. You know, he, it's funny. I just messaged him because I wanted to ask him a question about a clicker press. And he got right back to me where he orders them from, because it's funny just to see, like, you know, how easy it makes it, you know, to cut out the pieces, is because that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, with thick leather.
You want to get a clicker, or you just want to get the dye?
Yeah. The dye, where he got the dyes from. I want to get a clicker eventually. I know where I might be able to get one day, but
up in East Durham.
I hope he doesn't listen to this episode.
It's like 12 over there.
he's going to be like, Aaron, keep your eye on those fucking Derek's coming up. But no, it's just
Derek's coming. Make sure you keep an eye on so
Derek's going to try to walk away with something again. But no, he just
I'm going to bring really him at service. It's going to wind up in your truck.
Yep, exactly. But so that's my pick, Stock and Barrel.
So, Stock and Barrel.
How about you, Paul?
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of the Bon Appetit YouTube channel. I don't know. I those guys are good, though. I like them. I love Brad, you know, who did the thing with Jimmy. He's funny. Mm-hmm.
Just don't ask for his
autograph. Yeah, what is that? I keep hearing about that. He doesn't do autographs or something? Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah.
Because if he gives one away,
then he's got to give them all away.
He's superstitious about it. So I was talking to Jimmy.
I think he's just a whack job.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And so this girl I know, that those egg rolls I was talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You were posting about egg rolls.
Oh, my God. Those, I got to get bring some of those down. Unbelievable. This girl's Vietnamese. She's going to Johnson & Wales, and she just loves cooking everything. So she's like, oh, my God, I was watching Bon Appetit, and your friend is friends with Brad. I was like, oh, really? Who's Brad? So she's like, oh. So I call Jimmy. I go, hey, do you know this guy Brad from Bon Appetit? He goes, yeah, he's here right now. You want to talk to him? So I said, yeah, put him on the phone. So So I says, hey, what's going on, Brad? It's like, I'm Derek. I'm a friend of Jimmy's. I says, hey, can you do me a favor? He's like, yeah, buddy. What do you need? I says, can I get your autograph? I says, no, I don't do it. I go, you know what? You're a fucking piece of
shit.
Whoa,
really?
Oh, dude, I was pissed. I told Jimmy, I said, I was so fucking mad. Oh, I forgot this on the podcast. Yeah, I was ripped, dude. It was just so weird. It was just like...
Like, listen, Leonardo DiCaprio, freaking relax, all right?
Yeah, Jimmy's like, dude, calm down. I was like, I just felt bad. Like, these girls, like, they're like literally immigrants from Vietnam. Yeah. Like, this girl's like, I'm like, you can't give this girl an autograph, dude? Like, she's not trying to, like, sell it on eBay or something. Like, she worships
you. It's not like he's, like, waiting to get on his private jet. He's in the woods with Jimmy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean,
freaking Brett, for Christ's sake.
He said he's like superstitious about it and stuff. So I kind of, after I was like, you know what, I get it, you know, because I'm a little bit weird with some stuff like that. But I was just kind of like, it was just like, it threw me for such a loop. I was like, wow,
that's
like,
weird.
It was just kind of weird how it happened. I'll forget
right now if he's, you know,
yeah. So we'll give him a second chance, but that first impression, boy, man, it was tough.
I don't know. Maybe he's just weird. Maybe
impressions are very important.
Yeah, he's got 884,000. It's pretty big. I mean,
first impressions are very important.
Yeah. Especially if it was like Jimmy's friend. It's not like there's some guy coming up to him on the street.
It's not like you saw him at a restaurant with his family and you were like, oh, hey, Brad, let me take you away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, whatever.
Just relax. You make YouTube videos on food. Do a couple autographs.
You want to hear a funny... No.
You're not in the new Avengers movie.
Yeah.
I got a real funny story about a celebrity to end off this podcast. Have you guys ever heard the Billy Joel restaurant story?
No, but you met Billy Joel?
No, not me. This isn't me. I never met Billy Joel. I've seen him around on his motorcycle, but I've never met him. So
this is my older brother.
So, all right, this is a good one. So my older brother and his wife are out to dinner with one of their friends, and it's like it's three couples. And they're out for one of their friends.
Italian restaurant.
They're at some kind of restaurant. And there's
a scene in an Italian restaurant.
Scene from an Italian restaurant. So it's out. I'll tighten it up. So it's they're at a restaurant, three couples, and it's one of the guy's birthdays, and Billy Joel's at the restaurant.
They have a bottle of red wine.
One of their friends.
Let them tell a story.
One of their friends' parents own a restaurant that Billy Joel goes to, and she kind of knows him. And the one guy whose birthday it is. He loves Billy Joel and he's like, oh my God, Billy Joel's here. Like, you know, like I'd love to like meet him. So the girl goes up to Billy Joel and she's like, hey, you know, I'm so sorry to bother you, but you come to my dad's restaurant all the time. I don't know if you remember me. He goes, oh yeah, you know, I recognize you. You know, how are you? How's your dad? And she goes, listen, it's my friend's birthday. He would love nothing more than for you to wish him a happy birthday before you leave. She goes, if you don't have time, don't worry about it. So, okay, whatever. So the night goes on and this guy whose birthday it is drinking and he's like wasted now by the end of the night. And he's telling my brother and his wife a story about how the first time he ever went out with his now wife, they were like messing around on the couch and they were like dry humping on the couch. So Billy Joel walks over and he goes to say, he goes to talk to this guy and he walks over and he's standing at the table and this guy is like drunkenly telling a story and won't stop going.
Oh my God.
So Billy Joel interrupts him and he's like, hey, you know, I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. He goes, Billy, shut the fuck up. I'm telling the driver.
Oh my God.
And Billy Joel like doesn't know what to do. And he just turns around and leaves. And then the next day the guy was wasted, blacked out. And then the next day they told him and he was like in tears. He's like, I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe I told Billy Joel to shut the fuck up.
Oh my God. That's crazy. I didn't expect that.
Oh yeah.
That was an interesting turn to the
story. Legendary.
I want to hear about the dry humping on the couch sometime.
I know that was the better part of the story. We missed that part, but imagine waking up the next day and finding out that you cursed out Billy.
Yeah. We Christina has a friend that the husband, he owns a like a limo company. So he's you know, access to limos all the time. So they go out, not us, but him and his friends, they take a limo out, you know, and the guy looks exactly like Chuck Norris.
Oh,
identical to Chuck Norris, right? even if, like you say, this is so and so, if I can find a picture of this guy online because he's got a successful business, I'll post this. You cannot tell it's not Chuck Norris. Looks exactly like him. So they used to go out and they would call restaurants and they would say, hey, just want to let you know, I'm Chuck Norris's agent. He wants to come in. Can you get him a good table? So the guy pulls up in a fucking limo, gets out. They give him the red carpet treatment. God. And it wasn't Chuck Norris. They do it like once a month. They do this. And it was like the funniest thing.
That's good.
But I was like, yeah, yeah. Just so funny.
I love to find that. Remember that commercial, Paul? This might have been before your time, but there was a commercial for, I don't remember what it was for, but it was about a guy named Michael Jordan. And it was all these scenes of him calling places and giving his name. And then when he shows up, they expect it to be Michael Jordan. So like he would make a restaurant reservation and he'd come and the owner of the restaurant would be there holding a bottle of wine. And he'd be like, yeah, reservation for Michael Jordan. And then they'd all look disappointed. It was a hysterical commercial. I don't remember what it was for. But
can you imagine actually being named like Michael Jordan and you're not Michael Jordan?
I know somebody named Michael Jordan who isn't Michael.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
That's funny.
I know Steve Jordan. Does that count?
No.
I know Derek from Alden, but not it.
That's all you need. So
Paul Pinto Jr.
I think we're right about
I hope everybody has a happy and safe New Year because this is going to come out on New Year's Eve.
Over with because this sucked.
Yeah.
2020 was a tough one, but 2021.
Yeah. Some would say the toughest.
Some would say the toughest. But 2021 is going to be great and, everything's going to go back to normal. Everyone's going to do their thing and have a great time. So happy New Year's everyone. And I hope you're listening to this as the ball drops and, we ring in the new year.
Oh, what's going to happen with Times Square? Obviously there's nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Right? Are they going to do like a little, I bet they're going to have performers, but no audience.
Yeah, they're going to do performers, I think, remotely. They're dropping the ball, and they but nobody there, and they're doing confetti.
How are they going to stop people from going there, though? People are going to be there.
I know, right? They got to have it blocked off.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
We'll find out, though. So keep an eye open for the fish tank pictures.
Fish Tank. Follow us at Handmade Podcast, at Derek from Malden, at Paul Pinto Jr. I'm not going to give you my Instagram. There's too much going on over there. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you like this show, take a look at our other shows made for makers just like you at www.makery.network.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.